Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Tuesday, the 6th day of January, year of our Lord, 2015, welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, for lunch today, I'm having a Mountain House Pro Pack, Pasta Primavera. This has macaroni, cauliflower, broccoli, red and yellow peppers, green peas, and a Parmesan cream cheese sauce. If you go to my website, thelibertyman.com, and scroll down to the freeze-dry guy logo and click on it, you can get the details for Pasta Primavera and all the other excellent Mountain House foods that freeze-dry guy offers. Prepper tip of the day, before we get to our special guest, prepper tip of the day. At survivalblog.com, an article I think is worth your time, titled "The Good News About Nuclear Destruction." May sound counterintuitive, but it's a well-done article, and I would suggest that you read that. Quick reminder, next Monday we start my new schedule. We have our last Blog Talk show this coming Friday. Beginning Monday the 9th, I'll be doing 2 hours on Republic Broadcasting from 0600 to 0800 Central Time. So just keep that in mind, and we will proceed from there. We do a patient waiting green room, my friend Paul Martin. Paul Martin is a transplanted Oklahoma cowboy living in Colorado, a former Marine, a radio talk show host, and proprietor of the excellent website revolutionradio.org. And let's see if we can get Paul up here right now. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, John. How are you this morning?
Well, it's cold here for our part of the world. Tonight it will be 10 degrees above zero Fahrenheit. Tomorrow night, 1 degree below zero Fahrenheit. Actual temperature, not wind chill. Which for where we live is pretty darn cold. How about yourself, sir?
Well, we've had a pretty good spat of cold here and snow and pretty good snow drifts. I think the worst we got was 17 below.
And I had a wake-up call. I went to an AMSOIL convention. I've been to up in Minnesota a couple of times for AMSOIL conventions, and I've never been that far north, really. And downtown area where the AMSOIL convention was being held, I noticed that they had half-inch diameter fiberglass poles attached to all the fire plugs. And they stuck up about 4 feet above the fire plug, painted with white and red stripes. And of course, I came to find out that was so the firemen could find the fire plugs when there was a fire. So,
yeah.
That was a great wake-up call, because this far south, we don't have such things as those fiberglass poles or snow fences or gates on the interstate highway. That was another shock 35 years ago, to see gates on the interstate highways to get people off and prevent them from getting on the interstate highways once the weather, the snow and ice got too bad. And ladies and gentlemen, if you live below, those areas, it's a shock and a real wake-up call to find out how severe weather gets in these northern altitudes, isn't it, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it gets pretty wild out here. I mean, if you go up to Rocky Mountain National Park on Trail Ridge, I mean, they've got these very large poles that are about, 12, 15 foot tall along the roadside, and that's to let the snowplow guys know where the highway actually is. So, yeah, we get some. I think the worst snow, I've been here since 92, I think the worst snow we got was 4 feet.
4 feet accumulation or 4 feet at one time?
4 feet at one time.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was the only guy that made it to work.
Well, God bless you for doing so. Current headline on your website says, with power of social media growing, police now monitoring and criminalizing online speech. Unless you're making a threat online, how could they criminalize what you say online?
Well, we live in a police state. It's a brave new world, John. I mean, I call it faceplant, with Facebook and Twitter and tweets and all this other stuff, police departments in Western Europe and the United States, have got the software to follow the technology, with buzzwords and stuff, that anything comes up with, fill in the blank word, will they get a, real-time printout on this? And so it's just the world we live in now, John.
Of course, the real terrorists know what words to avoid, and they never use them, do they?
Well, absolutely not. I mean, they've got their own little buzzwords and
well, sure.
Stuff.
Well, all they need to do is simple code, like bomb would become fried chicken, or sniper would become a picnic, or
sure.
any number of ways to avoid using the offensive words that trigger further scrutiny. Other people who aren't terrorists would be innocently talking about a concern, and then become a person of interest to these agencies, while they're not a terrorist and have no ill will or no ill intent at all, do they?
No, it's hard to wrap your mind around the technology that the government has, and we've all followed the NASA, the huge NASA $2 billion facility up in the high desert in Utah, and
I mean NSA, not NASA.
Yeah, the NSA, and
right.
They can basically follow every email, every phone call in real time.
Yes. Well, the film Enemy of the State,
yep,
with Gene Hackman. Now, that film has some age on it. But at the time, they made a statement here I've frequently referenced. 19 acres of Cray mainframe computers underground at Fort Meade, Maryland. Now, what they're doing in Utah that you referenced is basically taking what they had at Fort Meade, Maryland, and pretty much doubling the size. And it's kind of ironic and funny, almost. The reason they gave for abandoning Fort Meade, Maryland, was the following reason. The local electrical utility can no longer supply enough electricity for our needs at Fort Meade, Maryland. So we have to go to Utah, where the local utility there can meet our electrical needs. It's laughable, isn't it?
No, absolutely. I mean, they take, I think, it's been a couple of months ago, but I think they use 17,000 gallons of water a day to keep all of that system
for cooling. For cooling,
yeah.
Yes. So where do they go? They go to the desert.
Exactly.
Well, the real reason that they moved from Fort Meade, Maryland to the desert of Utah is Fort Meade, Maryland will be underwater in the not-too-distant future.
Absolutely.
But 19 acres of Cray mainframe computers with a 6-foot walkway between them is breathtaking. And people get caught up with concerns about what the equipment can do on one hand. On the other, Paul, it always comes down to the human element, doesn't it, sir?
Oh, absolutely. I can't imagine the people that actually do that job. I mean, who do they pick?
I can, because I was one of them. I was an intelligence analyst. I could have made a direct transfer from military intelligence to the CIA, and I'm really glad in hindsight I did not do that, because I have a pretty good idea in hindsight that within 5 years I would have been in the field operations in godforsaken places with that smell like urine and have no running water. Well, here's what they do. They take really bright young men and women, high IQ, highly motivated, self-motivated people. They give them an 8-by-8-foot cubicle, and they spend the next 20 to 40 years of their life as analysts going over this stuff. Now, there's a limited number of men and women that can do that, and a limited number, even though they are very bright and very capable, of things that they can do 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. So that's the human element. Yes, while in fact they can intercept everything that there is, emails, texting, tweets, telephone calls, faxes. Yes, they can in fact do that. But there's limitations on the human part of it, and that's where people need to have their focus, I think, as opposed to, oh my God, they can record everything I do.
Well, I don't personally possess that. If you want to refresh your screen, you might want to look at the top headline at revolutionradio.org. CDC warns the first human infection with the avian influenza H5N1 virus ever detected in America.
Well, isn't that special? 60% mortality rate. My goodness.
Yeah.
And this is avian influenza A. A mutation of which was created by scientists in a lab is believed to have the potential to kill up to half the world's population should it ever start to spread at a more rapid rate. Well, that'll get my attention.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is a from following all of these H-class diseases since the original H1N1 out of Mexico, further...
Which just happened to pop up near what might be called a biological weapons laboratory?
Yes.
Isn't that, well, I'm shocked. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I knew you would be. This is definitely a game changer. When the when the original H7N9 was in China, and I was following the H3N2 and the H3N2V up in Indiana, an outbreak they had, and they had flown in last year, John, a Chinese, he was an MD as well as a scientist, and they flew him to a lab here in Colorado, and he opened the meeting up with, everybody in this room knows it's not if, it's just a matter of when the H7N9 gets to the United States. So I went, you know, kind of my eek moment, and so I got a hold of my bio guy, and he got me in touch with a doctor, we'll call him Dr. B. And so I asked the doctor, we were talking about the, and also about 2 weeks after the original outbreak of the H3N2 and the H3N2V in Indiana, they all of a sudden had the H1N1, which had currently been down in Venezuela 2 weeks before. And I'm looking at all this, my head's kind of buzzing, so I was talking to Dr. B about the, you know, the two H3s. Well, now we've got the H1N1. What happens if the H7N9 recombines with these?
Right.
And he goes,
right.
he said very quickly, he said, this will be the disease to be feared of all diseases. He said, the first case of that I hear in this country, he said, me and my wife are out of here.
Well,
so,
now it's here.
Yeah, this could be a definitely game changer. If you follow recombinomics.com, Dr. Henry Nyman, he's frequently on the Jeff Rentz program at Rentz.com. There's tons of articles on all kinds. There's the H5N8, the H7N9 is back in Hong Kong. There's a fatal H1N1 cluster in Libya. The H5N8 is in Russia. It's in Butte County. The H5N9 has migrated to Butte County, California. It started out. This is the Fujian from Mount Fuji lore. Right. H5N8, and I've watched it grow from Europe and Japan into it moved into Western Canada and is now moving south. So it's as of today, as of yesterday, has migrated to Butte County, California. So we've got a lot of bugs flying around there, John.
Well, we do now. The Spanish flu that killed, 50 million people around 1918 was spread at the time. State-of-the-art transportation were steamships and trains, and it took a matter of months to spread it worldwide. Now we have transportation where you can be, there's 24 time zones. You can be 12 time zones away in a one-day trip. And people routinely do that. So spreading these viruses, and keep in mind, the Spanish flu had a 2% mortality rate. This H5N1, 60% mortality rate. You need to clear your sinuses there, Paul, by the way.
Thank you.
It's the microphone's picking that up. But... this is very concerning, and we've talked in the past, you and I, and I've talked with Ann Morrison and Dr. Deagle about the concept of self-quarantine. Now, for most of us, having a safe haven at the top of a mesa in New Mexico or Arizona is not an option. And that would be probably the ideal safe haven in Lower 48, a top of a flat 20-acre mesa in Arizona where you have all the water you need and electricity and a way to grow food and so forth. But that's not an option for hardly any of us. Leaving the country to a safe haven is not an option. So self-quarantine would be a viable option for many of us, wouldn't it, Paul?
Oh, I've been preparing for it for 3 years. I am prepared for it as far as 3 years ago. Because I mean, if you look, it's recombinomics.com. So we've got the H5N1, we've got the H5N2, that's also in California. We've got the H5N8, which is in Italy. It's mind-boggling how fast this original, this H5N2 that was originally Japan, and it started in Germany, moved on to England, moved on to Germany, moved on to the Netherlands, and this thing has some H5N1 strains in the DNA makeup on this. So as far as I'm concerned, we've got a lot of bioweapons floating around out there.
Well, we do. And people like my friend Ann Morrison and Dr. Deagle, they have expressed their certainty that some of these are, in fact, human-created, laboratory-created biological weapons. The powers that be, going back to the Georgia Guidestones, they would like to have the, what's our population worldwide, the 7 billion, I believe, or so?
And change, yep.
And change. Reduced to 0.5 billion, which would be 500 million human souls living on this planet, the rest of them being deceased. Fast-moving biological weapons, such as the viruses that we're talking about here, is probably the most effective, most efficient way to accomplish that, isn't it, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. As of 12:30, as of December 30th, the Hong Kong H7N9 also had H9N2 and the H10N8, which was a new novel virus that launched last year, is now also in the H7N9 in Hong Kong. So this could be a game changer, John. This
well,
H3N2.
Here's what will happen in your local community. Every community has critical infrastructure that men and women operate. You've got your first responders, police officers, firemen, paramedics. You've got the men and women who carry the mail, who make sure that the electricity flows, that the fresh water plants pump fresh water, potable water, that the sewage treatment plants work, Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, and so forth. Once we get to a certain percentage, and estimates vary as to what that percentage of sick people is, many others, out of concern for their own personal safety, will just stop going into work because they don't want to be out in public. They, in fact, will self-quarantine. And when that happens, that's when society commences to break down and fall apart, because the men and women who keep the electric working, the men and women who keep the potable water flowing to our homes, the sewage treatment being pumped out and treated, the fire, police, paramedics, once those systems break down, everything else breaks down, doesn't it, Paul?
And quickly.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The veil of civilization is very, very thin. Once the Muppets get wind of the looming disaster, it's just like here. I mean, they start talking about a really, really good snowstorm, and last year we had a good, reported good storm coming our way. And they wiped out a very large Albertsons supermarket in about 4 hours.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I mean a very large Albertsons store.
I've been to Albertsons. It's a wonderful store with a lot of things there. When I was a youngster, your local supermarket, which were basically about one-fourth the size or less of a big supermarket now, the back end of the store where the public could not go was a warehouse with a 1 to 2 week supply of food back there, canned and food and so forth. Those days are gone. the small warehouse at the back of the store no longer exists. So I can easily see how a supermarket these days could be cleaned out in 4 hours. And, of course, that was not a full-blown crisis where there was looting taking place. These were people lining up and making their purchases using cash and credit cards as they normally would do, because everything, the whole system, the electric was working properly and everything, and people were not committing crimes and looting, were they?
Oh, no, it was very orderly, but it was very, very rushed. They had every checkout line going and, you know, carts heaped up. Oil is now down 48.82, down $1.23 this morning, heading to 47.
Well, short term, that's a good thing. And if you've got the ability, and I'm listening, listen up, ladies and gentlemen, here's your heads up. If you've got the ability to store 50 or 500 or 2,000 gallons of high-octane gasoline or diesel fuel properly, safely, and so forth, this would be the time to do it, wouldn't it, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. I'd called you yesterday. I had a brief meeting with one of my contractors, we'll put it that way, and he was reporting to me that it was go time for him and his associates. These people live in a different world than most all Americans live in.
Contractor is a polite, politically correct way of calling a person an assassin, isn't it?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
But these, he was reporting that he and many of his comrades were quickly storing massive amounts of fuels. He was storing the red diesel, kerosene, gasoline, and regular diesel in underground. These guys have been prepping for a long time. I mean, it was about 3 years ago. One of my Navy SEALs, a few of his friends that had gotten out were digging in down in very remote southern Colorado. So these guys have been ahead of the power curve for some time, but as of yesterday, they are quickly storing as much fuel as they can.
Well, that's good. I have been storing stabilized fuel here at my place for 15 years and making sure that it is stable and ready to use. And I encourage people to do this. And if you want to do it privately without the fuel company knowing it, you would have to take your tank to the place where you purchase it and take delivery there and then bring it back to your location. But it has to be stabilized, too.
Yeah. I mean, this buttresses up just with what we were talking about with the H5N1 and all the rest of them. And the current H3N2 flu that is just it's in about 28 states. And here in Colorado, it's laying people down for about 2 weeks. But if we get a good bug floating around, these drivers aren't going to be going out. You're not going to be getting any fuel, so you're dead. You're dead on.
Right
now while it's cheap. It finally hit $2.10 where I live yesterday.
Well, if you need fuel stabilizer, go to my website, scroll down to Freeze Dry Guy's logo, click on there. This is the way you need to do it because it'll help me. And Freeze Dry Guy does offer PRIG for gasoline and PRID as in Delta for diesel fuel. To the best of my knowledge, it's the highest quality non-military fuel stabilizer you can get your hands on. There are ways to get your hands on the military issue mil-spec fuel stabilizers on one hand. On the other, it's not only very expensive, but very toxic, very dangerous stuff to be around. So I've had PRI stabilized diesel and gasoline here for 10 plus years that would still work excellent, even in chainsaws. Chainsaws are known, aren't they, Paul, to be the most sensitive to having a good quality octane gasoline, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely, as well as lawnmowers. A lot of lawnmowers, after fuel's been in there 30 days, you might as well dump it.
Right.
And put in fresh fuel.
Yeah. So we've been using a 10-year-old high octane. You get the highest octane you can find, by the way, because the higher octane you start out with, the more you'll end up with. But the way to store gasoline and diesel fuel is, first of all, you need to protect it from getting air, contact with the air. That's critical. And avoid high temperatures if you can. The ideal temperature for storing fuel would probably be in the 50s and 60 degree range, or even cooler would be better. Underground storage is excellent, but maintain. You have to be absolutely sure that water does not get into your fuel. Paul, we're going to take our 5-hour break. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Nobody does it better. Makes me feel sad. Nobody does it half as good as you, baby, you're the best. I wasn't looking, but somehow you found me. I tried to hide from your love like heaven above.
Imagine this, over 1,000 individual survival, informational and training documents, all stored on a device that is so small that you can comfortably carry it in your pocket, or even on a lanyard around your neck. RuralSurvival.info proudly offers a SanDisk Cruiser Switch USB 8GB flash drive containing more than 5.2 GB of information. This includes over 570 military field manuals, over 200 U.S. Army correspondence courses, as well as over 350 other useful how-to and general information documents. Visit ruralsurvival.info and click on the Digital Survival Library link at the top right side of any page. U.S. price including priority mail shipping is only $55.67. International priority mail shipping is also available. All major credit cards are accepted, as well as e-checks through PayPal. Visit ruralsurvival.info today.
Ladies and gentlemen, my website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. We're visiting this morning on Republic Broadcasting with Dr. Brent Caudill, MD. Dr. Caudill's had it in an energy cleaner and uses it. He's had it for two, three years now. And he didn't know, because we haven't visited, he and I, for about a month or five or six weeks. He didn't know that I'm now offering a 30-day money-back guarantee on the energy cleaner. And I asked him live on the air, I said, "Doctor, how many surgeons offer a money-back guarantee on back surgery?" He said, "None that I know of." "Doctor, how many surgeons offer a money-back guarantee on knee surgery or hip replacement?" "Well, none that I know of, Doctor John." "Well, I do. It's not the manufacturer. It's John Moore offering a 30-day money-back guarantee on the energy cleaner. If you don't get the pain relief you're looking for, if you don't get the better night's sleep you expect to get, box it up, ship it back, I refund your money in 30 days, no questions asked." Why do I make this offer? Well, the reason is I'm starting my fourth year this week marketing the energy cleaner, and I know from experience I'm not going to be refunding very much money, not very much at all. So you can get the details at my website, thelibertyman.com. Is getting a better night's sleep and pain relief worth $285 if you take no risk? I think it is. I take PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. If you want to send me a check or a money order, my address is at my website, thelibertyman.com. Overseas shipments, another $20 postage. Toll-free auto line, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. 9543. Dr. Caudill said that once he found out that I'm offering a 30-day money-back guarantee, he's going to be making a lot more referrals to his patients to get an energy cleaner and see how it does for them. We do have a patient waiting once again in the green room, our friend Mr. Paul Martin, the proprietor of the excellent website ruralsurvival.disregard. I'm sorry, Paul. Revolutionradio.org.
It's early.
Well, it's not that early. I've been up since 4:15 a.m. Revolutionradio.org. Go ahead.
Is up on the website. It's such a good interview. I've posted it twice. The headline is "Expert Warns Cash Confiscation Coming Soon." This is an interview with Greg Hunter and Rob Kirby from Kirby Analytics. Quote, "I look at what is transpiring in the crude oil market as yet another engineered or financial trickery on the part of the financial elites. What this breakdown in the crude oil price is going to spawn another financial crisis. It will be tied to the junk debt that has been issued to finance the shale oil plays in North America. It is reported to be in the area of $500 billion worth of junk debt that is held largely on the books of large financial institutions in the Western world. When these bonds start to fail, they will jeopardize the future of these financial institutions. I do believe that will be the signal for the Fed to come riding to the rescue with QE4. I also think QE4 is likely to be accompanied by bank bail-ins, that's where they take your money, because we all know all the Western world countries have adopted bail-in legislation in most of their recent budgets. The financial elites are engineering the excuse for their next round of money printing, and they will be confiscating money out of savings accounts and pension accounts. That is what I think is coming in the very near future." Now, for you folks living in large cities, what do you think that the firemen and the police officers are going to, how they're going to respond when their pension funds have been cut in half or completely wiped out? What do you think about that one, John?
Well, first of all, they're going to be very, very angry. And they'll be very angry with the, if they can identify them, the individuals responsible. There's an old saying I learned many, many years ago in the Army. Never make somebody angry that can hurt you. And I don't believe the police, let's look at a police department, for example. I don't believe the manager of the police department pension fund would have any say-so or any authority to turn over pension funds to another entity. That would be done without their consent, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the Canadian government issued legislation for bail-ins last year. So these guys are, as always, way ahead of what the sheep know about.
Well, I was explaining to a friend of mine the facts of life when it comes to international bankers and how they've controlled the world for generations, for centuries. And his response, and this is a world-class counter-sniper, his response was very simple. "John, can I get within 600 yards of him?"
Exactly.
And there's a lot of police officers who, now, I'm under the right conditions, I'm not a world-class sniper, but I can shoot a grapefruit at 600 yards with a 10-mile-an-hour crosswind. I can do that. And there's guys that can do far better than that, that have my skills eclipsed, quite frankly. This is not a terribly rare skill, is it, Paul?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I've got we've got a 260 Remington here. We took a really intense, we had a day class with a SEAL sniper, and then in the field, and a lady that has never shot a big bolt gun in her life was shooting a 6-inch rock, white rock, at a half a mile with every pull of the trigger.
It's 880 yards. Is half a mile. That's
yep.
One of the things I've noticed with my female students is that they have a clean slate, most of them. They don't have bad habits, most of them. They're there at the class because they want to be. They don't have preconceived notions about this or that. And so consequently, they can frequently outshoot a man who has preconceived notions, who thinks they know stuff they really don't know, and has bad habits. So I'm not really surprised that your female student could do that well.
Yeah, it was, and that was in about a 30-mile-an-hour crosswind. If
that's an important detail.
Yeah, there's a app called Shooter. It costs you about $10. You can put it on your iPhone, iPad, whatever you've got, and it's an amazing little piece of technology that you can. It's got basically every known round in the world on it, and you can just punch on the round. You can take your little wind machine out and get the winds, barometric pressure, and altitude, and everything, and put it all in and hit submit, and a whole screen comes up out to 3,000 yards. It's very, very, very good technology.
Well, while we're on this topic, I've got I'm a reader, I'm a collector of books. I've got pretty much every Army and every Marine and every Navy SEAL manual there is on sniping and so forth on one hand. On the other, if I only had one volume I could pick up and use and learn from, it would be the following book when it comes to sniping and counter sniping. And the title of it is The Ultimate Sniper, the new version, the updated version, by Major John Plaster, just like plaster on the wall, Plaster. The Ultimate Sniper by Major John Plaster. It is the most important single volume that I'm aware of when it comes to long-range precision shooting. And when it comes to crosswinds, if you're on a range and you're learning, what I would do, say that half-mile range that you were on, I would take several range markers, maybe at one-quarter way down every 220 yards. So it would be at 220, 440, and 660 yards, and have a couple of maybe some surveyor's tape, which is bright, either bright orange or bright yellow or bright blue, hanging from those range stakes, because you can have crosswinds. Actually, when you get off that distance, you can have different crosswinds at different distances and also at different speeds, can't you, Paul?
Oh, absolutely, especially out here in the open high prairie. That's an absolute fact.
Yeah, and of course you'd want a final marker at 880 yards to see the difference. And these are skills. Now, the book is helpful, and you need to have the book, but there is no substitute for trigger time. None at all, is there, Paul?
Oh, absolutely not. That doesn't matter what weapon you're using. It's I took his combat pistol class and his combat rifle class, which was amazing. I think pistol class shot over 500 rounds that day, but multiple targets moving, reloading the magazine on the run, and just all it was.
Right.
Of course, I didn't have that kind of training in the Marine Corps. I was a tanker, but it was very amazing.
Well, I get questions. People want me to offer them a tactical rifle course or tactical pistol course. I'm not set up to do that, so I turn down those requests. I have done it in the past, and both in the private sector for pay as a private instructor, and of course in special forces we would do that. And basically it would be a challenge, a competition with consequences. If we set up a tactical course like that, my Special Forces A-team, it's just the 12 of us out on a weekend typically, the guys who didn't complete the course properly, they had to eat a raw egg, Paul. That was the consequence.
Oh, it can get worse than that. That wasn't very bad.
We didn't want to permanently damage anybody, but that's enough of a consequence to motivate the guys. You know.
Yeah.
Besides, the worst consequence, quite frankly, was the other guys making fun of their team member who didn't pass the course. That was the worst consequence. Being called a bolo or whatever, you know.
That gets ugly quick.
It does, and it's highly, highly motivating.
Yeah, and that stuff lasts for a long time.
Yeah, here's what happens. If you don't pass, and this is Green Berets and working with the guys on their team, and the guys got their back, the guy who doesn't pass whatever it is, a tactical rifle or tactical pistol training exercise, they'll go back and they'll take whatever time it takes on their own, private time, to sharpen up those skills, improve those skills, so that when the next test comes, they will succeed and pass with flying colors, Paul.
Oh, absolutely, without doubt. I mean, that pretty much goes with most of the services.
Absolutely, and when you're training for things that have literally life and death consequences, failure is not an option.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, you know, just in the Marine Corps, I mean, we would shoot like 45 days at a time. Before we went operational, because we, you know, that first round is very important. So you can't
the first round may be the only round.
Absolutely, yep. And trigger time is live fire is very important.
It is backed up with both 22 caliber long rifle and adult quality pellet rifles, and dry fire right there in your living room. If you're a novice just getting started, get yourself a snap cap. Now, these are plastic rounds that will absorb the impact of the firing pin, so no harm can come to the rifle. And just get there on your living room floor and set up a target on the other end. And practice your basic shooting positions, your prone position, your sitting position, your kneeling position, your standing position, hundreds and hundreds of times. And so you're practicing proper holding of the rifle, your sight picture, your breath control, your trigger control, all those things, hundreds and hundreds of times. And what you're doing is developing muscle memory, aren't you, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. When I was skydiving, I took new students, and I would send them home with a stack of videos. And I'd say, now you watch these videos until you think you're going to throw up, and then watch them for another couple of weeks. And it was amazing how the subconscious mind works, because those young people would get out of the airplane, and they'd be in a perfect free fall position. I mean, their body just took over. And what you're talking about is very, very, very real, and it just works.
And there's some hilarious parts of this. I was talking to my friend Command Sergeant Major Page. He says, you know, John, how MPs catch young soldiers that are AWOL, and here's how. They just hang out at bus stations, train stations, airports, and these young men, they always, when they're at a standstill, they always lead off with their left foot, always, when they step off to walk somewhere. And if there are two or three of them together, they all step off with the
left foot. Wow.
little nuance of military training there, Paul.
That's very interesting.
And going back to banking are you breaking up, Paul? Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Hello? Okay. You started to say something. You broke up. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Get back to the banking, because that's very important.
Bail-ins. I live in a small community, Steelville, Missouri, which is 17 miles from me one way, is the county seat of Crawford County. I have banking relationships with several banks in the area. One of these banks, I'm on a first-name basis with the owner of the bank, these people live in our community. They all went to high school together. They all know each other. These small privately owned banks, they're not about to take their depositors' money. That is not going to happen. It simply isn't. So, ladies and gentlemen, another advantage to getting away from these cities, becoming part of a small community, getting to know the mayor on a first-name basis, the chief of police, the fire chief, the owner of the bank, and so forth. It's a refreshing change from big city life. I lived in the big city most of my adult life. I never knew the owner of a bank. I got to know some of the tellers, maybe one or two bank officers. I never knew the owner of a bank living in the city. So it's a different culture out here. And there are still family-owned banks, hundreds of them, all over the United States. And I'll tell you, Paul, with a fair amount of certainty, that these locally-owned, family-owned banks are not going to take the money of their depositors. That's simply not going to happen.
Oh, that's why I live in a town with one stoplight, John.
Right, right. Anyway, Paul, 2015, without a doubt, will be a fascinating, fast-moving year, won't it?
I think that's putting it lightly, John. As I was telling yesterday, I've got a couple of contacts into the DOD cyber warfare, and they are definitely preparing for an event. One hunts, I've got a he's a very large landowner in Kansas, corn farmer, and he has a gentleman that hunts with him on his property that does work for the DOD in the cyber warfare. And as of yesterday, I mean, he said last week that the grid is under constant attack. You know, we've heard of the cyber attacks. And as of yesterday, one of the top things that they're also worrying about is they're now trying to hack in to the satellite grids for the GPS technology. He said if they can do that, if they can get through, if they can get the code right, they can all these new automobiles that are, you know, GPS attached, they can just shut the automobile down. And here's the kicker, as well as aircraft. He said they could shut the engines off on one side of the aircraft. And if the pilot, you know, wasn't a good pilot, you can imagine the outcome on that. But and the conversation of last week, the gentleman didn't sound really positive about this massive attack on the grid.
Here's two other things, Paul, concerning GPS. The entire cellular telephone network is dependent on GPS. All drones are dependent on GPS. GPS has become a critical part of our infrastructure, Paul.
It's amazing, but they're like I said, the people in that world, and I didn't really understand the GPS aspect of it till yesterday, but it's kind of scary. There was a caller in yesterday on Alex Jones' show that had recently retired from the DOD, and his voice was very concerned on the telephone about they're being told to be preparing for a crisis. This gentleman said more than likely it would be nuclear. He said, watch the president where he goes, and he said, watch the world politicians on where they go. And he said, pay attention to the news if you see any movement with nuclear products. So,
well, and there's nuclear material being moved right across the United States, back and forth, north and south, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's not news. But if they do have it in mainstream news, that means they're trying to get the public primed for something to happen, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you got to remember that the current occupant at the White House, which I won't mention his name, said in a briefing last year, he said, "I'm not so concerned with ISIS. I'm worried about a nuke going off in New York City." I thought that was very interesting.
Very telling. Very telling. Absolutely. I could not agree more.
Yeah, they love to telegraph their punches, and we've been. I mean, we've been preconditioned with movies after movie after movie on a lot of different areas. So,
well, you know, they want to, here's a scenario. I'll outline one, and I want your response. If one nuclear device, it doesn't matter how large or small, goes off in one city, that will get everybody's attention. The news cycle runs about 3 days. If a second one goes off before that third day expires, that will pretty much shut down the country, at least temporarily. If a third one goes off in another 72 hours, that will change this country for a decade or more into the future. People will be paralyzed with fear, and most commerce, in the normal sense of the word, would come to a screeching halt. Your response, sir?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was out yesterday, you know, quote-unquote, Al-Qaeda is saying, we've got the bomb, we can get it into the United States. And people just, I mean, their eyes glaze over when you talk about this, but you're looking at an economic collapse in the most heavily armed country in the world. And if you're the evil dictator, what are you going to do with that, John?
Well, there's not much they can do. They'll hunker down in their gated communities and sanctuaries and wait for it to burn itself out. Paul, 60 seconds to summarize your thoughts, please.
Prep like crazy. You know, you were just talking about commerce shutting down, and I'll say it again. Law enforcement out here is very concerned about that very thing, and the pharmaceutical pipeline, which is only 30 days long, shutting down, and how are they going to respond to all of these people that are on SSRIs?
Well, they'll be, if they're acting out and a threat to themselves or other people, they'll be either locked up or shot, one or the other, depending on what
Absolutely.
They're doing. Okay, Paul,
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. We'll talk privately soon. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, John.
Okay, Paul Martin, the proprietor of RevolutionRadio.org. Tomorrow morning, we should have Professor James McKinney with us on Republic Broadcasting and Tim Spencer on Blog Talk Radio. Quick reminder, next Monday, I start my new schedule, Monday through Friday on Republic Broadcasting from 0600 to 0800 Central Time. Don't forget, a 30-day money-back guarantee on Energy Cleaner to help you get a better night's sleep and pain mitigation. You can order it at my website, thelibertyman.com. Call my toll-free hour line, 800-529-9543. Don't forget to check out a Freeze-Dry Guy. Go to my website, scroll down to the Freeze-Dry Guy logo, and get yourself what you need and get yourself an education. That's it for the day. You all be safe out there. Get your medical supplies, your energy cleaner now while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever give up your guns. Have a fun, safe, productive day, and God bless America.